A man I work with whom I've had an affair the last 2 months, died suddenly over the weekend.
Okay.
I'm pregnant with his child.
Whoa!
He didn't know.
Well, he's not going to find out now.
His current wife, now widow, doesn't either. How do I broach the subject? His estate is rather large.
Are you serious?
Yeah. All right.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay. He's on trial.
He's on probation.
Mm-hmm. No, he's on trial. Oh. He's not on probation. He's actually on trial.
No,
it's everything's fine. It's just that when he's on trial, he's like... trial mode.
That's fine. No, he's I thought you meant like his...
He's in the doghouse.
That's what I thought you meant.
No. I like that, though. So I want to kick off with... This is a KD segment.
Yes.
Called The Week in Bigots. But yes. I've got something for it. So The Week in Bigots is where we look for terms that people use nowadays and don't know that they have a racist prejudice past.
So they've kind of seeped into the water supply. And we use them freely and we don't even really realize what they mean.
So I've got some here from my people and then from possibly my other people.
Yeah.
So I'll kick off with possibly my other people.
Oh.
I could be 7% of this. This is Irish.
Get out.
And, you know, most African-Americans have some Irish in them, or they will get some.
At some point. On a nice Saturday night.
On a nice day. Yes. So this is called an Irish goodbye. Have you ever heard about this?
An Irish goodbye, no.
Yeah. Now, an Irish goodbye is another way of saying a hasty exit without stopping to formally say goodbye to anyone.
I like that.
It can also be known as a French exit. That I knew. Or probably just to insert any country that your country has a problem with. So a French exit, I know, from people would say, like, in French Indochina or in Vietnam, that the French were like, we're fighting a war. See you later.
Okay.
You know, so just like a quick pull out.
Okay.
In France, it's called a filet à l'anglaise, which is to leave the English way. Not to be outdone. Okay. At any rate, you might want to think before you use a phrase that stereotypes an entire nationality of people as being rude, unless those people are on top.
Right. That's right. You can't only, knock people when they're down.
Yeah. So the Irish goodbye, or the French exit, or the filet à anglaise.
Okay.
Interesting.
So it's like if you're at a party, you don't feel like...
Yeah, I'm going to get Irish exit just to duck out. I thought it could be a lot worse. Like there's no, you know, like steal something on the way out.
I've done that. Have you done
a French exit.
Yeah.
Sold down the river. You know this one, right?
I do, but okay. I want you to...
So this is from my people, and it means to be betrayed or cheated or thrown under the bus.
Yes.
But literally, it's like if slaves were a pain in the ass, then they would sell them off somewhere else. So that's the way they would break up families. I never thought of this one as really racist. I think it just really is kind of an accurate portrayal of what happens. It's like screwing someone over.
Yeah.
Sold down the river.
But it's like, you know, to go ahead and just make it say casually. I mean, it's such a very serious thing to rip families apart and sell human beings. Beans?
But I only say, like sold down the river, somebody has really done something bad to you. So, like, if we were partners in a deal, and you just kind of, like sold me out in a way. She sold me, you know, down the river, threw me under the bus. Now, here's one I did not know that is refers to my people, because I grew up using this all the time, and I've never really heard that many white people say it. It's the peanut gallery.
Yes.
Do you know about this?
I've heard about the peanut gallery, yes.
So the peanut gallery...
We used to say that all the time as kids.
Yeah.
The teachers would say, no comments from the peanut
gallery. From the peanut gallery.
And then we'd all laugh, ha ha.
But I always thought the people in the peanut gallery were cool.
Yeah.
Like they had, like, the two guys in the Muppet Show.
Yeah, like they were, like, cute. I always did envision peanuts.
Yeah, I imagined people who were just, like, knew better than the people who weren't in the peanut gallery and were just, like, making commentary.
Yeah.
Apparently. So now it means hecklers, basically. But it were the upper balconies that African-American people sat in segregated theaters. And they were also known by other more derogatory names, which I couldn't find out what they are. So that's the peanut gallery. It was like the upper places that we used to sit. I'm assuming peanuts got in there because we liked peanuts.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know about that, but it was supposed to be a kind of a... So the slur.
The peanut gallery. I still will probably end up using that one, though. I think I can get away with peanut gallery.
Because it sounds cute. It sounds like a bunch of, you know, because you would say that to kids.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, we're like a little group of peanuts.
I also think that Irish goodbye isn't that bad either.
I don't think so.
Because it's not like they were staggering drunk out the place, set the place on fire, took a piss on everybody, and we're like, ah! It's not like hooligans, you know?
Right.
So, interesting. These are racist terminology that we use all the time.
Oh, yeah, sure. And sometimes we like it.
Yeah, like peanut gallery. I think that we do some peanut gallery action.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we'd be up in the balconies.
Sure.
If there's a balcony to that balcony, that's where we would be.
Yeah.
Like the cashew gallery. It's like further back. All right. What do you got?
Oh, I have the tales. Tales from the campfire. This is from Patricia.
So first, let me introduce this. This is a segment that we do. It's my favorite segment, Tales from Dur Campfire. Hashtag Tales from Dur.
Yeah.
Because Tales from Dur Campfire is too long. This is where we've taken like an urban legend, fake lore, folklore, tales of the paranormal, ghost stories, and we tell them here around the digital campfire. Yes. So Katie has gotten an email from one of our favorite listeners.
Yeah, Patricia. Patricia had sent this a while back. Patricia was a wealth of information.
Yeah.
Links, and we have been parsing it out.
Okay. I'm snickering at the name of this one.
Okay, this one is called Black Anise.
Is it? Is it really? Okay, Black Anise.
Anise. That's how we're going with that.
Yeah. Anise.
Or Black Agnes.
Okay.
Is a boogeyman figure in English folklore. Okay. She's a blue-faced crone or a witch, and she's iron claws and a taste for humans, especially children.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Blue-faced? I don't know why.
Maybe.
Cold? Suffocation?
Maybe. Somebody died or drowned.
Interesting.
She said to haunt the countryside and lives in a cave in the Dane Hills.
You know how you do.
And with an oak tree as the entrance.
Well, spiffy. That way everyone knows where it is.
The oak trail.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. Supposedly, she goes out to the glens at night of looking for unsuspecting children.
But in reality, she just hangs around the bars. It's like the word on the street. Okay.
And she wants children, and if not, she gets lambs.
Okay.
And
really?
Yeah. Then she tans.
It's one or the other. Small, tasty children.
Or
lambs.
She tans their skins by hanging them on a tree.
Ew.
And then she wears them around her waist.
Wow, that's weird.
It's a weird...
Does she fashion something out of it, or is this just the whole child's skin?
Well, you know how, like, the preppies wear the sweaters around their shoulders?
Gotcha.
Like, that she cash. Around the waist.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew you would have the answer for that, too.
And what if she gets a little chilly at night?
You know.
She's got it around her waist, so she puts it on.
Some people keep a cardigan.
Right. Legend has it that she used iron claws to dig in the side of a sandstone cliff.
Okay.
Making herself a home there, which it called Black Anise's Bower.
Okay. That's interesting.
Just clawing all day. That's not a long time. Why doesn't she use other powers?
Or why not just, is there already a cave somewhere where she could just go in there? Or does she just have specific needs for her cave?
And she had to do it with her claws.
So
this
maybe she should have stolen some kids who knew a little bit about carpentry
with
stonework.
Right. She could have come from, there's several different ideas about where she really came from. She could be like an ancient goddess
and
the people don't quite know the story. So they kind of turned into that. She can also be represented in cat form.
As one does.
And the legend, there's all these legends around
cat
her,
form.
Led to a local ritual in the early spring where a dead cat would be dragged before a pack of hounds in front of the bower to celebrate end of winter.
Really?
Yeah.
People will just do anything when the seasons change. They don't give an F.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, the cat.
And I'm guessing that cat didn't start off as dead.
Yeah,
like,
right?
They probably killed the cat. It wasn't curiosity people.
And then some people believe that she was
villagers.
Right. She was based on a real person called Agnes Scott.
Okay.
A medieval...
Or Anna Scott.
Some accounts have maybe... She was a Dominican nun who cared for a local leper colony.
I was thinking Dominican, like from the Dominican Republic, but that's clearly not it. I'm like, wow, that is... Whoa, they really went there.
Yeah, and she lived her life in prayer in the cave in the Dane Hills.
And what happened?
And it was buried in the churchyard. And then...
And then she was like, you know what, that's it. Coming back.
Right. For no reason. She's going to come back, and she is there to frighten the local children.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
with her.
As a cat.
kind ways, yes. sacrificing her whole life to care the care of others. Now she's going back and kill people.
Maybe at the end of it, she realized that there was something else she wanted to do.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, she's like the crone goddess. So people, you know, nobody.
It's like a mishmash, a pastiche.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, so she's like made into this monstrous figure. And she, like...
Let's be honest. Nobody likes an old woman. And by old, we mean over 32.
Yeah, so out of luck here.
Yes.
And so, you know...
One thing leads to another. Yeah. Next thing so, you know.
Like, this whole idea now is going to get even more warped because it's like in...
Well, the origins
comic,
are
the
like...
The origins are messed up. So they take it and they put it in comic books as like some kind of villain.
Well, Black Annis does sound like a villain.
Yeah.
Like a pretty cool villain too with like a sweet outfit.
Yeah.
Nice, you know, some gel manicure or something.
Like Hellboy, it was the comic series Hellboy, the Wild Hunt, and she had a... Battle Hellboy. And,
oh, okay. This is why I've heard of this before, because I like Hellboy.
Yeah.
Bob Perlman.
You know, other
Ron
people.
Perlman.
The Peppermints is a band with a live performance version. And they
of Black Annis?
It's like
bizarre.
Dungeons and Dragons has the Annis Hag as a powerful monstrous humanoid with blue skin and iron claws. And, you know, it just goes on. There's all these things. And even... Freaking J.K. Rowling with the Harry Potter series.
Well, she was... I don't remember Black Annis in that. I didn't read
the
books.
What she did was she had, like, a newsletter for the Harry Potter fan club and said that it was called The Daily Prophet. That's the newsletter. And in one issue, there is a letter to the editor written by Annis Black complaining about the newspaper's portrayal of hags as flesh-eating monsters. And then she goes on to offer her babysitting services.
Oh, okay. Very clever.
So I'm like, that's, you know, so this is just a mess.
Wow. Black Annis. It's interesting.
They're just being mean to her.
Yeah. The blue face is always like an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that one.
All right.
Thank you for the
tale.
So I have a little piece here of hashtag penis news.
Oh God. Okay.
Penis news is a segment that I do about news of penises.
Wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
If you ever want to know what's going on with penises.
Yeah, ask me. Dick
Gwena
updates.
Will let you know.
So this is one I could not believe for many reasons. It's the title is German Neo-Nazi Party Rocked by Interracial Porn and Penis Cake Scandals. So
penis, there's nothing like a penis cake to scandalize a town.
So first of all, it says German Neo-Nazi Party, but this party claims that they're not neo-Nazis. They're just far to the right. They hate Jewish people. They're racist, and they hate immigrants.
Fine.
And you know, in Germany, it's illegal to be a Nazi or to display like Nazi tendencies.
Okay.
So they're saying, look, first
of all,
is it
now?
Yeah, it's been illegal since since what happened, and with good
since
reason.
Since the unpleasantness.
Yes. So it says that the part, it's called the National Democratic Party, the NDP.
All
right. And the party has faced a number of attempts to be banned in the country because you can't be a Nazi there.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, so they had 200 top officials. It turned out that 30 of them were like insiders, like government informants.
Uh-huh.
So they're pretty heavily infiltrated party. But most of the problem has been inflicted by themselves. So they're trying to have, like, a better image. And so usually, you know, these neo-Nazi parties have these ugly skinhead guys with tattoos.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to remake their image. So they got a very attractive woman called Ina Grohl, a.k.a. Kitty Blair, a former porn star, who stopped doing porn. Because she wanted to become the public face of this party.
Good for her.
Unfortunately for the Nazis, they found out that she had done some porn with some brothers.
Oh.
And so they were very, very upset about her interracial porn scenes. And as well, the person who recruited her to be at the party met her at this new Nazi party, met her at a function where there was a gigantic penis cake.
So,
on display, and there are pictures of them around the penis cake, hanging out together, eating it, and apparently it has sparked a lot of ire within the party because they found it indecent.
And it's, really?
It's called the Penis Kutchenifier. Apparently,
I like their standards.
Yes.
I like that they know where to draw the line.
And the as a result, Peter Marx, the second highest ranking person in this neo-Nazi party, had to step down. Because it's being photographed with a huge dick cake. And the party, the people in the party said that the photo was unsavory.
How many, all right, out of, you know, here, especially on the East Coast, we have bachelorette parties.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of penis cakes, yeah. lots of penis pops.
These
penis,
are
everything.
Nazis,
everybody gets their picture with that. And you're going to say that that's worse than that's being
the
a Nazi.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Right.
So, first of all, they're not Nazis, right? That's what they're saying. Okay. They're saying they're not Nazis. But regardless of that, it's just like, lighten up, dudes. Really? A penis cake? A penis cake?
They get scared.
That's what
they
upset
get scared
by them.
Because it's
it wasn't a black penis cake.
It was just a penis.
It was just a penis
cake.
Well,
hey, they have their values.
Apparently, they've been having a lot of trouble recruiting people because they keep embarrassing themselves all the time. And lately, they just had a lawsuit against the president of Germany, Joachim Gauck, because he called them loonies. So they said that they're going to sue. It doesn't seem like people are really cottoning to this neo-Nazi party very well.
No, I don't
but
think
they
so.
Definitely do not. I mean, what do these guys
they
do? They're very serious.
They shoot themselves in the foot each time.
It's like, but it's so bizarre to me that these, it's like, yeah, you're right. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The penis cake is a problem.
Yeah.
Like, they should be happy that anyone's crazy enough to be associated with them. What kind of people do you think are going to come to this party? It's so bizarre.
Oh, my God.
So that's their latest scandal. They clearly are not up to very much. They aren't doing very well.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, there's, like, Jewish people and immigrants having a lively time in Germany. These guys are concerned with a penis cake.
Okay. Well, you know what? If that's what they
that's what they want to do,
then let them just
dress codes
stew.
Will be next. Short skirts are
right.
out.
Right.
I just don't understand where people are sometimes with their politics. I don't know. So that's it. That penis news, people.
Yes.
Nazis don't like penises. Cakes.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
So, I see some sweet A on A.
A on A,
also hashtag advice on advice, is a segment that we do where Katie or I, we find advice on the internet that we think stinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's unqualified. Right. It's just putrid to us. We find it disgusting. I can barely even look at it or
right.
hear about it. And we give advice on that advice, hence the segment. So, what do you have?
Well, this is also Patricia sent these links.
Patricia's
a lot,
machine.
Just,
a machine.
Yeah. Again, it's like, I think I read these so many times that I don't know if we address them or not.
What is it?
This is Death Around the Holidays. A man I work with whom I've had an affair the last 2 months, died suddenly over the weekend.
Okay.
I'm pregnant with his child.
Whoa!
He didn't know.
He's not going to find out now.
His current wife, now widow, doesn't either. How do I broach the subject? His estate is rather large.
You... Are you serious?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
It's an answer. I'd say I'm sorry for your loss, but since apparently you...
But you sound like a raging bee.
Because you aren't, I won't bother. Oh, for your financial interests, contact lawyers specializing in family law.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any advice.
And be prepared not to get anything
right.
for that kid until he turns 18 and they make sure you don't get your grubby little hands on it. That's so bizarre.
Right. I don't have any advice on where you go to get help for your lack of morals or heart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. No advice on that advice.
Okay. So.
But I commend her for leaving out expletives because that's where I would have gone.
Yeah.
Right away. That's so bizarre.
Yeah, so that was really, I know, we just had a...
That's the kind of thing that you can't really ask someone for advice,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to be like, see you later. I have nothing to say to you.
Right.
Wow,
right.
That's a tough one. Shut me up. What else do you have?
I have
that was
here.
Shorter
right.
than
I know.
The introduction. It comes at you fast.
I have more.
Advice on advice. Wow.
I am a 50-year-old, I'm a 50-something woman.
Why do people just say how old they are? Bitch, you're old. No one cares anymore.
Okay.
I used to say 30-esque. Now I'm like, it's 39, people.
Yeah, that's all.
Deal with it.
I'm preparing to move in with my boyfriend next March.
Oh, Lord.
I have a miniature schnauzer who is 8 years old and has always slept in my room on the floor next to my bed. My boyfriend wants me to banish the dog from our bedroom when we move. I don't think it's a good idea, especially with moving to a strange house. And I think the dog will do better with the transition if he could sleep in our room.
Huh?
Am I wrong?
Yes. Yes, you are wrong. I don't understand that. I mean, I used to, you know, we had a dog, and our dog used to sleep under the bed. That was it.
Yeah. Can't do anything else. You can't bring them in.
Yeah, but we got that dog together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, if you start bringing an animal in for
separate life. I don't want somebody else's dog in my bedroom.
Yeah, I do not want a dog in my bed.
No. Is this bed or bedroom?
Bedroom. Okay. Next to the bed. In the bed. I don't want it. I don't want it. You'd be, like, in the next floor. Somewhere else.
Be somewhere else.
All right, so he doesn't want it. She does. And so Emily
You gotta respect that.
Yeah. Oh, your boyfriend has come to the wrong place. This is the answer. Some nights my husband and I can barely turn over in bed due to the arrangement of the dog and cats around us.
In the bed?
Yeah. Nasty. You got me laughing at the idea of banishing my my cavalier from the bedroom. Is that
how? Is that kind of dog?
I don't know. Oh, no one would get a minute of sleep due to the whining and howling. Oh.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
That's good. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a pet. Animals can sleep by themselves. Yeah. Like, it's fine.
You have a beloved pet who sleeps peacefully on the floor. Unless your boyfriend frequently steps on your dog on the way to the bathroom in the middle of the night, just rearrange the dog bed. I do not understand his objection. More than that, if he understands what the dog means to you, his demands are rather cruel.
I don't think it's cruel. I mean, a lot of people, I think what pet owners sometimes don't understand is that people are not everybody has the same level of comfort with an animal.
Yeah.
Like, when I was a little girl, we had a dog. But if people came over who weren't comfortable with the dog, we put the dog in another room and shut the fucking door. It's a dog.
Yeah, right.
Like, it doesn't take precedence over a person.
Your bedroom is like a private space where you need to get your rest.
Yeah.
And you need to sleep. You need
or other things.
Yeah.
And some people don't feel comfortable with that
in there.
Going on in there.
I, for one.
That's weird.
Okay. I have letters from people who have fallen in love with other humans who are seriously allergic to their pets.
Pet gotta go.
Yeah. There are very difficult situations, but much to the annoyance of animal lovers, I come down on the side of the human taking precedence.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but there's no good reason here to shut the door on a sleeping dog. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, if the person doesn't want the dog there.
Yeah.
Why is this even an issue?
Yeah, you've got a lot of time before the move to hash this out, but I think you're entitled to say, love me, love my schnauzer.
See, this is the weird thing with single people and their pets.
Yeah.
I think people forget sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not a child. It's not your lover. It's not a partner. It's very important to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, you have to realize that it's not everybody is as attached, you know, to an animal.
Just wants that. They want that. I mean, even if I love the dog or cat or whatever it was, I don't want it in the bedroom sleeping.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's right. I gotta go with the. I mean, you're a 50-year-old woman. You found someone that you want to be with. You guys have decided to move in together. You cannot let this dog.
Yeah.
You know, because not to be morbid, but you know, the dog's probably not gonna last as long as the dude.
Yeah.
So you need to think about that. Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know, bizarre. So I have a piece of beer news here.
All right.
We haven't had beer news in a while, but this is from Bloomberg Businessweek, which just, I thought would be a really lovely publication to read.
Yeah.
Some of the worst written stuff I've ever read in my life. But anyway, here's a beer jelly beans are just wrong is the title. And taste like bad beer. Can you imagine a beer flavored?
That could be,
So the article starts off, is it wrong to make alcohol flavored candy? What do you think? No.
No.
Who cares?
No, it's not wrong. What, somebody has a moral objection against?
Yeah, alcohol-flavored candy, it's a flavor. But the Jelly Bellies people, they have a new flavor called draft beer.
Okay.
And one of her colleagues says it tastes like beer that you chew.
Well, you know what? I'd like to try. I'd like to try it out and
be your own, like, decide if you like it or not.
Because there's nothing morally wrong with that.
It's the company Jelly Belly says that it's a totally reasonable bean, considering that they have, in the past, had beans entitled Barf.
Yeah, right.
And Baby Wipes. It says the beer-flavored beans are part of Jelly Belly's efforts to appeal to dudes.
Yeah.
Who, judging by the food industry's marketing tactics, are really worried that without constant vigilance, they will accidentally eat some kind of chick food and suffer the consequences forever. I see where she's going. Because sometimes I see things marketed towards men, and I'm like, y'all, men aren't stupid. You're marketing things that are just like why wouldn't a guy like a pina colada bean?
Yeah, exactly.
And why wouldn't a woman enjoy a beer right. flavored something. Right. You know we enjoy a beer.
That's from time to time.
From time to
on
time.
On a warm summer day.
Yeah, a nice refreshing lager.
Maybe just like a half a pint.
So a beer flavored jelly beans. I don't know. I don't know if I would like it or not. They said that the beer, it doesn't taste like a good beer.
It's probably a skunky beer. It's probably like a beer that's been left out.
That's what I'm thinking.
Warm. You know, and I mean, it's probably not
they
great.
Said, in addition to it not tasting very good, they said it smells like a pub, like in the morning when you open one up after a long night.
See,
that
that's
weird,
not
that
great,
smells
so.
Like funk and beer together.
Yeah.
So that's the beer news. Beer jelly beans. I mean, if I see them, I might try one.
I'll try it. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, they're not alcoholic. They just taste like
I don't have a moral objection to it. That's for sure.
People are going.
Do you remember as a kid, they would sometimes around the holidays, you would be able to get those like, their chocolates and inside, it was like a Jack Daniels or something like that.
Sure.
That did not incentivize me to want to drink at all as a child.
Right.
There were other reasons.
Funny. It was funny to have them.
But there were other reasons I wanted to have a drink.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of those candies,
yes.
you know, so don't put it on that. Right. It's not like some kid's going to have a jelly bean and be like, you know what, I need to head right to the bar right now.
Yeah.
I need a beer.
Developing a taste.
I'm having a beer.
It's not it.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, I have a listener email.
All right.
And this is from one, Greg Zenon, your husband.
Greg Zenon is my husband. He's also a lawyer, and he sends us legal Hey You Know It from time to time.
Yeah.
So, and they're usually pretty funny.
Yeah.
What does he have?
This one is called, Judge Pulls Over to Aid Crash Victim, a Defendant on the Way to Court.
Wow.
This is like Super Judge. This is what happened. A judge.
Is he like Cory Booker? Was
right.
it on a flame?
Right.
And he went in while he was in there. He saved a dog and an old woman.
Right.
He righted wrongs,
teaching,
and then he flew off like Obama.
Yeah, teaching a life lesson to a
yes.
seven-year-old.
Always flaws.
Changing his life, right.
Yeah.
A judge driving to a criminal court case last week pulled over to aid a crash victim who was a burglary defendant scheduled to appear before her that day.
Oh, wow.
So
did she recuse herself afterwards?
At least three other defendants on the way to court also pulled over to help the victim.
So there's like a train of like, it's just lawyers and judges and perps.
So this is Albuquerque, so I guess it's like one long road.
Yeah.
And I guess they all caught up with each other. Like,
they all have to be there at the same time.
You know, I think that this is like a movie that Kiefer Sutherland needs to be in.
Yes. Or Clive Owen. Because it's real men.
Right. The judge has had training in emergency medical as an emergency medical technician and as a midwife.
Wow.
Well.
This is one hell of a judge.
Yeah, I know, right? And she called criminal court every Tuesday, and she was traveling to court with her bailiff and noticed the accident.
The bailiff was there, too? Was any other court support staff there?
It's a sidekick. It's a super judge and bailiff.
Did you pick up the bailiff on the way? Was she in a motorcycle and the bailiff was in the sidecar?
Yeah, right. They had their masks.
Yes.
Yeah. The defendant.
Did she whip off her robe? Like, oh my God, it's just a regular person.
Yeah. That's her super.
Super judge. They didn't recognize her later with a robe on.
Right.
Who's like, this? Don't worry about it.
Somebody saved me on the road today.
But like, she's sitting on the bench and she forgot that she has like her goggles still on. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
I've always been recognized.
Yeah, the defendant's like, someone saved me and it's really changed my life. She's like, that's interesting. Wink.
Yeah.
The camera.
You're going to get 2 to 5 for that charge.
The defendant was injured when a truck driven by his mother skidded off the road on a snowy day. You know, the judge had her
that's
stethoscope.
That's so awful. He was his mom was taken in the court.
Yeah. Skidded off the road. And the judge also had her stethoscope, but not her medical bag.
What? Slacking.
Yeah.
I take back everything I said.
She covered him with her jacket and held his hand till an ambulance arrived an hour
later.
God,
this woman's amazing.
It's like compassion.
Yeah. It's all
action,
here. This is amazing.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
Strength. Help was slow in coming because a passerby had to drive south to get cell phone coverage.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is like the middle of nowhere, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, then she went to the hospital that evening to visit him, but he already
performed
was gone.
Surgery on him. She went there, delivered a couple babies, did a quick suture.
Yeah, and she did recuse herself from the case.
Okay. Yeah, she would have to, because now she has had a situation.
She said, if I could make all of their charges go away, I would, she said. What I saw of their...
She's also a wizard. She's going to go back in time. And make sure that none of those things happen.
Yeah. What I saw of their character in that incident tells me so much more about their character than I could learn from their police files. I don't know what she saw.
You think he was like, bitch, get off me. She's like, I gotta recuse myself. Because I'm gonna lock this mofo up.
She listened to his heart with her...
yes. And she heard it's like, I steal. I steal. I steal.
But she knew that he was really good way down there. And...
Heart of gold. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an amazing woman.
Yeah, this is like a comic book hero.
It really, yeah.
I like it. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
That's a good one. I have a piece of unpopular science and technology and mechanics.
Okay.
Yes, it's everything. Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse, right. Which is like next year.
Yeah.
If South Korea has its way with this robot island.
Well, I think it's going to come at us at all from all ends.
From all ends.
It's going to be
from I feel
the
like
sky.
They're the most advanced.
It's going to be DARPA. It's going to be from Korea.
It seems like the stuff from Korea, though, is actually like positive.
Yeah.
It's going to start off positive.
Right.
All right. So it says here, and I know you'll enjoy this one. Tiny robot surgeon to get inside astronaut's gut.
No. No, I don't
so
like this.
Researchers have developed a fist-sized robot surgeon that slides up into the body through an incision in the belly button.
No. Oh.
And can help perform surgery on astronauts in deep space. You know what? If we're out in deep space and I say my appendix hurts, just shoot me out the airlock.
Right.
Like, I'm done. I can't do it. After the robot enters the abdominal cavity, which has been filled with inert gas, the robot can remove an ailing appendix, cut pieces from a diseased colon.
How can you do it? It's too small.
Let's perforate a gastric ulcer. It's been developed by this company called Virtual Incision in Lincoln, Nebraska. And they're going to do its first zero gravity test in an aircraft that flies in parabolic arcs. Have you seen these things? Mm-hmm. Like, if you go out to Las Vegas for, like, $10,000, you can go into an airplane that flies, like, in a loop like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can experience weightlessness. So somebody has said, because they've done it on pigs already, right? So some person is going to consent to go up in an airplane that's flying in a parabolic, like, you know, in the shape of a parabolic symbol, and they're going to have a tiny robot fist enter them through the belly button.
No.
So the robot is going to perform first before it does the surgery. It's going to do a set of exercises to demonstrate dexterity, such as manipulating rubber bands and other inanimate objects. Not the same. I feel like before you become a surgeon, you just can't, like, make a rubber band ball.
Right.
And, like, twirl a pencil around your fingers.
Or do the rubber band gun around your finger.
Yeah, that's first, and then next the appendix.
Right.
They're saying that surgery in space is going to be really hard because without gravity, you know, your fluids are going to start floating around. Floating around and contaminate the place.
You know what this reminds me of? The movie where the doctors got into the little...
Inner space.
No. It's older than that.
Fantastic Voyage.
Fantastic Voyage, yeah. And they were shrunk down.
Inner Space is the remake of that with Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, and they had to
Quaid.
Get into the body and do the thing, but they only had a certain amount of time.
And also, that thing was really, really, really small.
Yeah.
This thing, so in addition to the fact that this thing is going to be in outer space crawling around inside your gut, it doesn't do it on its own. It's like remote control.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No.
And, okay, so you're gravity, right? You're Sandra Bullock. You're way out in space. There's a lag time between if I'm controlling a robot that's inside your gut, when I make a move, it's going to take a little while for it to make a move. So this is kind of what they're going on. It says
oh my God, the lag time. Yeah, I really wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah. The further away you are, the longer it takes for the response to be from these robot things. They're going to be controlling it. A human surgeon is going to have a joystick. I wish they would use a more current word than joystick. That doesn't make me feel very good about it. And it says that it's going to be, they want to have this robot just in case, you know, you're out in outer space and then you have to have your appendix removed. I'm thinking you're done.
You're done.
You know,
this is a nice try. It's a good idea, but you know what? It's not well thought out.
It's not really well thought out.
It's the problems and the bugs that go along with it are just not working.
And like, you know, we have a hard time having cell phone coverage here on Earth. Standing underneath a friggin' cell phone tower.
Yeah.
Like, I've tried to text Greg when we've been standing next to each other, and that takes time. No, thank you. So, tiny robot surgeon the size of a fist.
Oh, God.
That goes in through your belly button.
So many things go wrong in surgery.
No.
You don't need a...
No, not at all. All right, what do you have? Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
Oh, that's a little piece that I've been carrying around.
Okay.
Yeah, this is another unpopular science.
Okay, cool.
All right. I've been carrying this around with me for ages. And it's about the idea of scanning your child's eyeball at school. So the retina scans.
Why?
Yeah, because they say kids lose their school IDs, but they don't lose their eyeballs.
Yeah, but, I mean, a part of having an ID as a child is learning how to, like, not lose things. You know what I mean? It's like that's a part of it. You know, it's like a lesson.
Yeah, but there's... Right. Instead of letting you learn your lesson and all of that.
Because we've all had IDs before, and then you lose them, and then what happens? You figure out how not to do that again, because you end up having to pay a fine, or you get somewhere and you can't go in.
You can't go in, your day is ruined.
Yeah, your day is ruined. And then you think to myself, okay, I need to be a little more cautious about where I put my things.
Yeah. So, growing numbers of schools are replacing traditional ID cards with iris scanners.
Mm-hmm. Let me just back it up and say, aren't schools, like, just broke as shit, and they have time for this?
Right. So then they're talking about, okay, here you go, we're all going to get our irises scanned.
Mm-hmm.
But what about hackers? And it turns out, like, the code for the irises.
So it turns it into a binary code?
It turns it into, yeah.
Okay.
And,
I'm so backwards. I'm thinking they just have that eye on file.
Yeah.
They take a picture of your eye and then they match it up with another eye.
Yeah. So anyway, they go ahead and they come up with the code, and that's what they're really looking at. That's what's really being scanned.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is then people are like, they're going to rip out your eye just like in...
Minority Report.
Was it Minority Report or was it the other...
Tom Cruise had somebody's eyes.
And so
for like 20 minutes in the movie.
Wesley Snipes did too.
Probably.
In the movie with Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and Hollywood has shown us the way.
Yeah. But what happens is that it's really just this code that they're looking for. So you don't really have to pull out someone's eye. You can take a picture of their eye.
Of course.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's it.
So you think kids are going to show up just with a picture of someone's eye?
No, but if you want to scan in the back door.
Oh.
You know what?
They had that forever.
Yeah, you take a quick selfie. There you go. You scan yourself in, and that's it. So these all can be hacked. And then guess what? You put your picture up on Facebook.
There's your eye. I'm going to have to start being like a Middle Eastern dictator and just wearing mirrored shades all the time to protect myself.
Basically.
That's so bizarre. I really feel like it's... What's wrong with just ID? Is it that much of a problem?
I know, right?
Are kids losing their IDs all the time?
It's so primitive.
Yeah.
Right? This whole idea of the iris and the scanning, it's like...
I think somebody's brother runs an iris scanning company, like someone who works for the Board of Ed, wherever this is, and they're like, hey, man, you really need to get this so I can have some money. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Demolition Man.
So what are the... Does anyone have any opposition to this?
They're just saying... This article is like, I'm just saying, not complaining. You can go ahead and do the iris scanning all you want, but nobody needs to hack. They just need a printer.
Wow. And there's no point to it.
Yeah.
And what happens when that machine doesn't work?
Right.
You just get there and you'd be like, well, just go ahead in.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Just go ahead in. Interesting. So I have a little thing here, a tale from Der Campfire. Tales from Der Campfire is a segment that we do where we take fake lores, folklore, ghost stories, urban legends, and we retell them right up in here. Myth as well. Right around. Myth who? Myth Jackson, if you're nasty. Around the digital campfire. So everyone gather around. I have a little thing here about Lincoln's ghost.
Lincoln's ghost?
Do you know about this? So Abraham Lincoln, everybody loves Lincoln.
Oh, of course. I mean, who doesn't love Lincoln?
He said there's been several stories about ghosts of former presidents visiting the White House. However, the most common is that of Abraham Lincoln. So, you know, before Lincoln was killed, he had dreams about his death. He dreamed that he was in the White House, and he saw a funeral taking place, and he said, who is it? And lo and behold, it was him. I don't think it's that weird, but considering what he was trying to do.
I think like, every president must have little paranoid dreams where they're just
But
like,
not every president is trying to, like, usher in, like, early civil rights. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think he was right to be afraid. So basically, here are the reports of apparitions of Lincoln's ghost. So the most famous apparition was seen by Eleanor Roosevelt, which I find just uncharacteristic.
Right.
She never admitted saying that she saw it, but she said she felt his presence. She felt his presence throughout the house.
What is making fun of me for my verbal misstep in a previous episode?
I think it's a funny way of saying it. Mrs. Roosevelt also said the family dog would sometimes bark for no reason at all. What she felt was Lincoln's ghost. Like, really?
Oh, come on. That's so hilarious.
I don't know why people think that dogs just can't sound off for no reason. Maybe they just want to hear their own voice. Doesn't have to be anything about a ghost.
Nothing.
President Dwight Eisenhower's press secretary, James Hagerty, and Liz Carpenter, the press secretary to the First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson. First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson. Both said that
as a kid, I heard that name and I just didn't get it.
First what? Lady, Lady Bird Johnson. Sounds like a hooker.
Yeah, it sounds like a prisoner.
Yes.
I thought it was like a crime.
Like a gang.
Crime happened.
Lady Bird Johnson.
Lady Birds.
They
got the Lady Bird's fingerprints all over it.
They both said that they felt Lincoln's presence many times. What does this mean? Then they said that if you're in the White House, you can hear the president's footsteps outside of the Lincoln bedroom.
G-Men. The president.
It's probably G-Men, right? Aren't there a lot of people in there?
Yes.
An eyewitness, Lillian Rogers Park, admitted in her 1961 autobiography, My 30 Years Backstairs at the White House, that she heard the footsteps too.
You know, and it's Lincoln.
Yes, obviously it's Lincoln. Margaret Truman, daughter of President Harry S. Truman, said she heard the specter rapping at the door of the bedroom when she stayed there, and it was also believed to be Lincoln. And then Truman himself said he was woken by raps at the door. Are people just knocking and be like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah, right.
You're right in there? Because we heard something weird come out of there.
Right.
No, nothing? No,
oh, okay. But yeah, knocking could be anything.
And then we have a bunch of unnamed eyewitnesses, which is not really an eyewitness. Like, that's nothing.
That's not an eyewitness.
That's nothing at all. Other people have said
who
they've
told
seen
you this?
Apparitions.
An eyewitness told me.
That I can't say who.
Yeah.
Another weird thing I did a little research is that Lincoln himself, his wife, you know, his son died when they were in the White House.
Very sad.
And his wife was having seances a lot for the dead son.
Oh, she probably pulled something in there.
And then Lincoln would attend them, but he wasn't really into that. Like, he didn't believe in it.
It's like, look, lady.
She's not coming back. But when Lincoln died, apparently there was a train that took both him and his son. It was like a couple hundred mile trip from the White House to his final resting place. And they say that now it's like a ghost train. But can you imagine? It was him and his son on this weird shroud, like train that had like a shroud on it. And people would, it stopped at 400 places, something like this. And people would stop and look at the body.
Well, yeah, because they had to, it's their mourning. And hey, that's the way technology was.
So bizarre.
Technology.
Yeah, of the time.
Yeah, that's what everyone wanted to pay their respects.
But they say that now, for years, they would have like the ghost train. They say it would come through the different stops, the places and where it was. And then finally the thing just burnt down.
Oh, man.
Like in 1911 or something like that. But it's like very weird. I'm fascinated by Abraham Lincoln.
I think, yeah.
I wish that if there were ghosts or people could come back, that he could come back and like have a word. Because he seemed like a pretty interesting guy. And he's definitely a pop icon.
Yeah.
Like, I think he'd be surprised at how popular he still is.
No matter what Daniel Day-Lewis does with the character, I still like him.
Yeah. He's still all right with us.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
I feel like almost it's like kind of like a Footloose. This town is bad. Someone brings a penis cake to town,
yeah.
They have to travel through, and they get stopped. And they're like, no penis cakes in this town. And they're thrown in jail. And then the person's like, wait a minute.
We need...
cakes are for everyone.
Yeah, penis... Well, no, not for everyone. Not for immigrants and for Jewish people.
And so then they have a party with penis cakes, but outside of town.
Yes.
And then everyone's allowed to go. And then they realize penis cakes are okay.